Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Nate Kretich, who's Vice President of Residential Market Development with the U.S. Green Building Council. Nate, how you doing?
Doing well. Kemp, how are you?
I'm well. It's good to have you on the show. It's been, I think, over a year since we've talked. I want to talk to you about Green Build, which kicks off here later this week. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about what your total focus is, which is the whole LEED for Home. Give us an update on what's going on there.
Sure. So my area of influence here at USGBC is the residential side. So that primarily includes LEED for Homes, which is our rating system. It applies to, you know, all residential structures, six stories and under. It can be gut rehabs. It can be new construction, affordable apartments, you name it. So we've been at this now, came out of pilot about 3.5 years ago. We have certified roughly 13,000 homes in the U.S. in that time, and we've got about 42,000 in the queue awaiting certification. So it's actually been kind of an interesting time to launch something that's so different in the midst of what is obviously our worst housing downturn in many, many moons. But what's been really heartening about it all is that we've really seen an uptick in builders' interest in sustainability and developers' interest in sustainability and, frankly, their ability to start reaching the tiers of LEED. So, you know, from that standpoint, it's been a really kind of fun 3.5 years, and as the market picks up, we're really excited about what that holds for us.
Well, as the market picks up now, I want to pivot on that in just a minute. Let me ask you another question I was thinking about as you were giving us an update. One of the things we're finding in some of the research we do is that as the economy continues to be sluggish, some people turn away from this whole sustainability initiative because usually doing something that's green costs a little bit more money. So that's not what you're seeing out there?
Well, actually, it's quite the opposite, particularly if you think of it from the builder's perspective, because there's such an overhang of inventory in the marketplace right now.
Yeah.
You've got production home builders that are, frankly, looking to compete on some level with the foreclosed homes that are on the market. And one of the ways to do that is sustainability, is to build a very high-quality, highly energy-efficient, water-efficient, healthy home and be able to position that against their competition. I think if you ask most home builders today, their competition is existing homes today. It is not the other builder. And so they have this really rich opportunity to build something better. And as they sort of make this sprint toward, you know, building more and more green and energy-efficient homes, the leaders are kind of finding their way to our doorstep. As an example, KB Home just certified a platinum multifamily building up in Los Angeles just a few months ago. And to think that they would have done that 3 years ago, it would have been hard to imagine. But you're starting to see these builders sort of move that direction, and I think they're bringing the homeowners along with them.
Yeah, especially a KB, who's more of a lower end than some of these other builders. So what you're saying is it gives them a competitive edge, and they're in competition against the foreclosed existing home. It makes sense. So let's talk about your other comment. You say, as we start to see this thing turn around, are you starting to see more life in the new construction?
Well, you know, again, we touch both single and multifamily, and we've seen a real resurgence in multifamily, I would say, over the last 18 months. And I think the stats really sort of bear that out. If you look historically, the single-family to multifamily start split, it was traditionally more in the range of 70-30 single-family to multifamily. And I think that gap is almost at 50-50 today. So we're seeing multifamily developers, both market rate and affordable, really look for that same kind of edge. Maybe it's a way for them to get access to tax-exempt financing. Maybe it's a way for them, again, to differentiate their product. But our mix has moved closer to 75-25 multifamily to single family over the last 12 months. But what's interesting is we're starting to see the production builder really come back, and not so much in numbers because obviously they're still kind of facing those issues, but in terms of, you know, moving towards sustainability, most of the major production builders are doing Energy Star now, and the ones that really want to differentiate themselves are doing LEED. So overall, I think the market is, you know, at best flat on single family. It's picking up on multifamily, but everybody is kind of making that move towards sustainability, which we obviously love to see.
Okay. In summary, you say you have 40,000 homes in queue with LEED for Home.
That's correct. And the process is that anybody who's going to go for LEED has to register with us. They actually pay a small fee to do that. So there's a commitment that's already been made for them to to pursue LEED certification.
Okay, and with LEED on the commercial side, there's new construction and existing building. Does the same thing exist on the residential side?
Today we are mostly new construction. We're actually looking at some ideas around building out a LEED for existing homes rating system, but we're probably maybe a year or so away from that. But the one instance that can be used for existing homes is if you actually do a gut rehab and you're going down to studs, then you can use the LEED rating system. But beyond that, we actually have a remodeling program called ReGreen, which is a terrific resource for folks that just want to figure out how to green a particular project. Maybe it's a kitchen or bathroom model. So we do offer that as well.
All right, well, let's talk about Green Build. It's later this week, and I think it kicks off in a large way on Wednesday and then runs on through to the weekend. Just, if you will, to talk a little bit about some of the highlights that, as people are jumping on a plane today, what are some things they want to make sure they don't miss?
You know, our theme this year at Green Build is called Green Build Next. And so what we're really doing is looking forward. You know, what are the big innovations that we see coming in the world of green building? And I think for years people thought of green building itself as kind of what's next or progressive, but it's really become so much more mainstream that it's important for us to help our industry stay ahead of the curve. So as an example, something like social media, you know, how that's driving awareness and activity around, you know, green building and sustainability. So yeah, what you're going to see at Green Build Next this year is really a focus on kind of what's cutting edge and what's coming. But the other thing that's really exciting is this is the first year we've had the Green Build Conference and Expo in an international city. It's in Toronto. It's obviously a major cultural international hub for the world and very progressive city. So yeah, they have a lot going on in their own green movement. So you've got this sort of confluence of what's next going with Toronto, and I think it's really pretty appropriate. Our speakers, our sessions, the events are really kind of all geared around this forward-thinking and very global-thinking conference. That's it at a high level. And then we've got, you know, terrific events, terrific speakers. We're opening things up on Wednesday evening with a plenary panel that includes Thomas Friedman, award-winning author and somebody who has a real focus on sustainability and also on Haiti. Kim Campbell used to be the Prime Minister of Canada. It's a moderated panel, but with Cokie Roberts, who...
ABC News.
From ABC. Maroon 5, sort of keeping with the next theme, a real kind of topical fun band for the younger set. They're going to be playing on Wednesday evening. So it's just going to be kind of a fun get-together. And then on Friday, the closing plenary, we've got Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who's going to be receiving a leadership award for a lot of the work that he's done in New York City. And then in between, like I said, you've got these terrific events and sessions. We've got the Green Jobs Fair. We've got Affordable Housing Summit, the Green Residential Summit. So really, there's something there for everybody.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I go every year. There is an expo, and there's a lot of companies there to display their sustainably forward products. But when you talk about Green Build, the seminars are very rich. And to get a handle on what's available and try to plan your time while you're at Green Build, it's always something I kind of struggle with because I want to spend time on the floor and also see the right events. Is there one or two of the sessions that you think, man, everybody needs to see this one? Can you think of
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You're right about the exhibit. We almost have, I think, 900 companies this year. It's about 175,000 square feet. So you can get lost down there. There's just a lot of rich content. But what's neat about what we have in the way to navigate Green Build is that, you know, you can go in, if you've registered, you can go in and search by your own topics of interest. And so if you're really focused on what's next residentially, it'll suggest sessions. One of the things that I think is kind of neat is we have a residential summit, which is 15 sessions that are really oriented around the residential developer or builder. And we have a general speaker this year, a guy by the name of Franz Johansson, who wrote a book a few years ago called The Medici Effect. And, you know, his theory is that innovation comes through, you know, the intersection of different ideas and different people. And I think that's a good sort of proxy for Green Build. You've got folks that are coming in from different walks of life, different industries, different trades. And when you get those people together in a room and start interacting, some great things happen. I would put that at the top of one of the sessions to go listen to because he's a terrific speaker. But I know a lot of your audience is in the flooring industry, and I just think that, you know, flooring, like any other industry, they need to be in that conversation, and they can sort of add and enrich a lot to those conversations from their vantage point.
Right.
It's a good way to think about, you know, Greenville as a whole.
Well, I look forward to seeing you there at the show. Can you tell by pre-registration, did it negatively affect attendance by going out of the country?
You know, I don't think so. What's interesting, we sold out the exhibit floor earlier, I think, than we ever have.
Right.
And the attendance is, you know, we generally get something like 40% of our attendees register in the last few days. So our numbers are pretty much on par with what we did in Phoenix and Chicago. So we're feeling pretty good about it.
Okay, great. Well, again, thanks for being with us. We've been talking to Nate Kredich, who's Vice President of Residential Market Development with USGBC, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaDaily.net.